Coming to you live from planet Earth's real Gotham City. My name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Spiral Radio, where each and every week we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me until we all vibrate the same frequency. Welcome, everybody. It's the waning crescent moon. It's in Libra, and we got a blockbuster night for you. We got cosmic shaman Stephen Popiotek. Now, let's get down to business. Stephen is a cutting-edge metaphysical teacher, a researcher, a channel for a variety of esoteric subjects, the Kabbalah, cosmic shamanism, numerology, Egyptian mystery teachings, sacred geometry, property cleansing, Stargate activations, and the ascension process. He's a well-learned intuitive guide, 25 years of experience delving to the core of ancient spiritual traditions. Everybody, I want to welcome. It's Fallen Angel Friday. We got a chat room full. We got our website, themysticalspiral.com. You can find my guest, Stephen, at timestarproductions.com. Now, welcome, Stephen. Welcome to Spiral Radio. It's nice to have you on.
Thank you. Hello, Ra. Yes. It's a pleasure. An honor.
Definitely. Now, I know, let's just all like try to calm, because I know it was just a struggle for you to get on. You were racing on the train, so let's try to bring it down.
Yeah, I'm about half a block away, so I'm almost back. The fun New York City lifestyle.
Yeah, we're in Gotham City, baby. Angel Friday. Now, if people don't know anything about Stephen, now he also does he facilitates like meditations at the Egyptian obelisk in Central Park that they call the Cleopatra's Needle. If you want to tell everybody about that as well.
Indeed, yes, I've been doing that for about 13-14 years, and it's a very powerful monument that's about 3,300 years old from Egypt, and it's only one of two in the world that were the original pillars that marked the entrance to the City of the Sun in Heliopolis. And right now it's right behind the Metropolitan Museum in Central Park. It's a powerful vortex, and we do a lot of channel guided like activation meditations there, and it's lined up to other powerful points globally, so it's a major kind of a vortex point to be able to access, you know, more of the global grid. So we should do stuff there, like
so
new moon, full moon,
barefoot around it, and
well, it also depends how cold it is. I mean, usually I take my shoes off, but I still have socks on.
Nice. So when did you like first become aware of the spiritual realm? Did you like have troubles as a young man that put you towards like the spiritual path, or was it from birth, like you were kind of like destined to be a shaman, a cosmic shaman, basically.
Well, I'd say it was in certainly in stages. I mean, I knew my earliest memory of feeling different was when I was 5 years old. And in kindergarten, I kind of walked around and I had a feeling that I wasn't really from here, that I was a bit different. I really couldn't wait to become an adult to carry out more of my mission. So that was an interesting feeling. And then I would say more so in high school, it started when I was 16. And more from a point of inquisitiveness, actually, and more of curiosity, because originally I was a physics major at NYU and was doing that type of a line of query. But the earlier seeds of that started in high school, and partly through a chaotic religious background from my mom and dad's side, which was also forced me to look at something that I felt was true, but beyond the scope of what they had actualized. So I began my own independent kind of investigation and meditative process to kind of ascertain the truth for myself.
Now, did I pronounce your last name right? Is that the right way to say that?
Oh, yeah, it's fine. It's a...
Oh, we're losing your...
Hold on, it'll get clear in a second. Okay. Yeah, I was really just... Walking.
Guys, while it clears up, everybody, you can find him at timestarproductions.com. If you're just joining us, it's Cosmic Shaman Steven Popiotek, and he's at cosmicshaman.com. Also, everybody, it's Fallen Angel Friday. You're in the chat room on parax.radio.com. You can get a free oracle reading after the show. Just let me know at my website, themysticalspiral.com, or let me know between 8 and 9 here at Parax Radio on the chat room before 9 o'clock. Let me know if you want an oracle reading, and I'll get in touch with you afterwards. So we're back with Steven. And Steven, did you, as a young kid, did you start having like out-of-body experiences or like special encounters, you know, something that made you, you know, witness the spiritual realm at a young age? Or see, most people like me, myself, I had to go through like some turmoil that put me on the spiritual path to make me have like an awakening to change my life. And it's like, but some people, you know, they find it a different way. Was it through out-of-body experiences, maybe, I'm thinking? Or...
Well, for me, early on, I just want to double check to make sure I still sound okay, because I just finally stabilized at my location. Okay, very good. It started early with more with the Kundalini type of activations that I was doing, basically every day doing different meditations to activate more of that flow of energy, and it really accelerated pretty fast, and it opened up my chakras, and I kind of started having like heart orgasms and brain orgasms with the Kundalini energy. So that really kind of popped me open to the idea that there is this whole other energy source beyond what we were told that we
can
connect
like,
to.
So like your Kundalini, like pre-awaking, like it happened without you realizing it. Like you didn't mean to activate it. That's dangerous.
Well, no. I was intending to. I was doing chakra work every day to like to kind of pursue it. Yeah. And I was at that time, you know, I was going to different gurus to get different Shaktipat, different initiations from different systems. So, you know, there was some guidance in the first couple of years, I would say for sure. until it got more wild. And then as I started to kind of prime more of my circuitry with that energy, I just started getting a lot of visitations from different beings that are both on the light and dark side, angelic, demonic, extraterrestrial, both positive and negative, started just projecting into my space and like trying to initiate contact and channeling through me. So it was a pretty intense like learning curve in the beginning to be able to discern these different stations of reality that I began to get kind of thrown into. So
wow,
it was quite a ride.
Yeah. So now that, like, how did you get into Kabbalah? Is it in your family or?
No, I actually don't come from a Jewish background, which is interesting because a lot of people, when they first meet me, they all kind of think I'm Jewish. But I came
it's
more
Polish,
from a Christian
right?
background. Yeah, my father is Polish. He passed away years ago, but on that side is Polish, and my mom's Italian, second generation. Cool. Mm-hmm. And I started getting interested in the Kabbalah, I'd say, when I was 21, as from a series of catalysts. Including some references to it in the Law of One books by Ra, which are some of my favorite kind of cornerstone books that I always recommend to everybody.
Mm-hmm. That ties into
and I started
a lot of it. Yeah, a lot of what we're going to talk about ties into that. Yes,
absolutely. And I mean, and starting to get work into that also because I started getting some pretty intense like psychic hits at that age, also from some people that I had that had befriended me under more of a false guise and were taking advantage of my early naiveness and like compassion. But in retrospect, they were some of my best teachers because it forced me to kind of learn very quickly about the polarized nature of our reality, especially in the spiritual movement.
Yeah. So you felt that dark enchantment before almost then, like where almost you feel like this high and almost like the air is high around you. Like it's an enchantment in the air. You've got a taste of that before then, right? You felt that. I've experienced that myself. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I mean, usually it was more on the negative side in terms of them trying to attack or send demons.
That's what I mean. Yeah. That's exactly what I mean. I've gotten attacked before where it's almost like you're high or drunk and it's like the air is high around you and drunk too. It's like almost like a dark enchantment.
Yes. No. And with different types of physical effects. I mean, usually I'd feel it, like in the throat or stomach or intestines or back of the head. Over the different years, it shifted just depending upon my own kind of challenges I was going through at any given time. Because all the negative groups or negative entities or governmental shadow government technologies, the majority of them work on the premise that they still have to find a weakness in your auric field or a back door that they can utilize as a kind of Trojan horse to kind of slip in, past your defenses. So usually there are certain points that may target in your body that you may be going through some issues that you need to kind of heal some past trauma or shadow energies from so that you get stronger in that area. But usually more like the gagging sensations start first with that, or even when I work on certain clients, if they have intense negative energy or entities, I process it through my body in different manners, as well. But you could definitely feel it inside you. I mean, there were some attacks I had that, literally put me on the floor in terms of the pain level that came through, that I had to then quickly, counter, strengthen the defenses. But usually it doesn't get to that level.
Do you think these were attacks from lower astral realm entities or something that you picked up when you possibly weren't grounded at that moment and something attached to you?
There's been a pretty wide range over the years. I mean, there's definitely been a wide number of characters that I've encountered both physically and non-physically. I would say a large number have come, I would say more earlier on from some more of the demonic or lower astral, then later more from the shadow government. And that at the time there were certain directed energy weapon projections that I got exposed to, specifically from the NSA, which was confirmed.
Like an ELF wave or a microwave or something?
Yeah, a combination. And they've also played, they've also evolved some of their tech over the years. I mean, early on, back late 90s was when it first started for me with that. And it all started initially for me just kind of getting on one of their weird lists, let's put it that way, in terms of work I was doing with the sun, where I remembered how to look into the sun for long periods of time and started channeling some of the energies and beings that come from those realms. And this kind of created a situation where it alerted some of the local facilities where they scan for certain anomalies, or if they're scanning for different people that may be making contact with extraterrestrials, they'll send out the black helicopters to monitor what's going on or to see if that person's, connection is there and why it's there and what the interest is. Their own version of intel.
Yeah, so when you open up your consciousness, you're sort of like shining on their radar or something, and they can just come.
Pretty much, but I mean, I already had developed a little bit of protection against that, but then some of my guides, when I started doing the active sun gazing, and I started feeling these tall, golden, androgynous light beings coming down from the sun, and this is in the middle of, Newark, New Jersey, so it's, I'm doing this in a pretty heavy environment, so,
I know where you're at, I know where it's at, yeah.
So, finding higher connection in the middle of the abyss was kind of what was going on. So, the average vibration around me was pretty low, so it was pretty easy to stand out in that environment. yet alone open up these higher portals where these, trans-dimensional light beings are coming down, and I'm literally on the floor crying out of love, and the energy they blasted me with was so amazing. But then that ended up being followed by these black helicopters that started flying around whenever I started doing the activity. And I began to notice, they're not just there to say hi. They were standing and quite interested in seeing what's going on. And that began my whole chapter of many years of different types of harassment, which eventually led up to my military abduction in the 96, 97 time period, which ties into a whole other
more conspiratorial side of my life that I didn't really fully understand the ramifications of it until 11 years later, until 07, when more of the memory seal kind of popped on my wow. my lab experience. But before that, I kind of had to spend so much time every day just building my defenses, and it didn't make any sense to me why I had to spend so much time on psychic defense, you know, until I realized, well, there was a huge back door that was kind of like the elephant in the room that I was missing, which was the implant that I had received from the military abduction, which was from upstate New York. And so that was a whole other chapter, you know, that we can definitely talk more about.
That's Preston Nichols is up that way, right?
Yeah, he's in a little different area. He's up in Cairo, in New York, or that, the way the locals pronounce it, Cairo. so yeah, he's about 2.5 hours north of New York City. The facility I was taken at was near a town called Norwich, which is more about 4 hours from the city. It's like about Green, 40 minutes.
Right?
Yeah, Green and Bowman Lake were the two towns, really, where they have a kind of facility. It. Mm-hmm. And then I had no idea of it, and it was very little information that I've been able to gather from outside sources until, you know, after my experience, 11 years after I went to go see Preston Nichols. It was through one of his machines that helped me to pop this memory seal on my abduction, which he also saw during the session that he was working on me with. And I confronted the guy who set me up, and, you know, and I'm still in contact with him once in a while. Oh. You know, it's kind of like keep your friend closer, keep your enemy closer type thing, you know? yeah. So
is this something that Preston made that was underneath Camp Hero, like a Montauk chair type device, or was...
No, not as sophisticated, but he specialized also in sound technology and its interaction with consciousness in a very unique manner. So he built a special series of a special sound system, everything from the speakers to the to like the circuit boards that the signals go through. But he did take one of the components in the Montauk transmitter that he said was a psychotronic amplifier that he included in the technology of the sound system, so that it creates more of an interaction with your own consciousness when you hear. Where, for example, if you play an old record, you know, from the old days on it, it sounds like you're in the middle of a live orchestra. So he's been able to capture it.
He's
able to like evoke the holographic field at the time of the original recording. And part of it has to do with the sacred geometry placement of magnets in the speakers, which when I first walked in and he told me about it, I started to remote view it, and I saw part of the pattern, and he starts laughing because I was correct. I just missed one level of it. But he was placing the magnets in the tetractus, which is very Kabbalistic, but it's like if you have a triangle with numbers 1 through 10 that are arranged in rows, like one on top by the apex, and then two below, three below, four below at the base of the triangle. If you put magnets in each of those positions, although he added another two levels below, and by having the simple sacred geometry arrangement of magnets, it begins to also shift the nature of the interaction. So during that process of hearing different themes from different concerts, different orchestras, different movies, you know, I went through a meditation process, and at one point it just popped, and I felt myself have an intense memory of being in the facility. And he jumped out as he was meditating with me at the same time and said that he saw that I was taken to a base upstate New York in my mid-20s, and he saw five guys doing a procedure on me, but he couldn't get through it. There was a big shadow energy around him being able to scan deeper. So that began a bigger quest of mine, which was back in 06, 07. When this information was exposed, because I already had meetings with people, physical meetings with people from the NSA before that, who had confirmed that I had been basically that they had been testing certain directed energy weapon technologies on me and were interested in how I could block it out. And which was quite, you know, affirming and disconcerting at the same time, right? Because, you know, you're like battling this stuff for a long time, and then you have someone from the NSA walking in with their little NSA jackets, you know, at the job I was working at, just basically set up a meeting with me, and he was basically playing more like the good cop, bad cop role for me for a few years on and off.
I have a question.
Sure.
Since like you're into Kabbalah and this, I kind of incorporated in this question with this covert technology that they're using in a way. These, you know, in Kabbalah, they say that, like, you know, that, I've even mentioned it in another show before, like that we're an interesting creature. Us, you know, we're supposed to be able to tap into the lower and above realms, like the superior and inferior realms, where an interesting creature. And some of the creatures that they mention in Kabbalah can't perceive the Elohim or the upper realms. They can only perceive, but we're an interesting creature that can tap in. And when there's like a decrease in evolution, when spiritual evolution has been like halted on our planet, then we're supposed to be able to tap into these lower and higher astral realms to increase that celestial influx and to help help the spiritual evolution. Now, do you think these NSA or these covert people, this, you know, the powers that be, do you think that they're deliberately, purposely placing a veil over our consciousness so we can't spiritually evolve with the planet and help the planet spiritually evolve by either mind programming, diets, TV, religion, all that stuff, you know?
100% agree with you and everything you said. Absolutely. It's certainly one of the biggest interests these organizations have, and as well as of the secret societies that are more connected to the Illuminati and some of the older families that have been part of the old cabal, so to speak, that have been running the system for a long time, or running parts of the system on a global level. You know, they have many agendas, obviously, but I mean, think even if you think about it from a basic level, if you're dealing with families, organizations that are, you know, multi-trillionaires, where money is not even a concept for us to imagine how they, you know, for them, and you're dealing with more of a sociopathic or psychopathic mentality, you know, for them it becomes about no longer about just money and control in the normal sense. It's about trying to commodify consciousness. That becomes like the next, you know, lower capitalistic extremism, you know, of, okay, well, how do we, you know, it's like the next stage of the Monopoly game for them, you know, is the control and commodification of consciousness, which under that kind of theme, just like the military has their information warfare divisions in all their branches of trying to manipulate, you know, the so-called enemy, you know, which includes us domestically. their main desire, you know, is really like multi-tiered in terms of approaching it from a, you know, psychological, sociological, educational point of view, and also energetic with technology. So, you know, unfortunately, Edward Snowden only, you know, talked about the NSA hacking our computer systems, but you know, the main thing I wished he would have talked about, or other whistleblowers like Anonymous, I wish they would reveal more of the documents about, you know, how the NSA and these other groups' main desire is about, you know, more like biohacking our consciousnesses, our brains, our auric fields, our timelines, you know, to be able to control consciousness so that we don't get out of line, to basically corral the masses, just because, you know, there's portions of them that see us as sheeple that need to be controlled and maintained in a certain order with population control, and the desire is to basically keep the DNA that we're evolving more strands of on a lower nature, so that we're not in our heart space, which is key to our evolution, you know, both individually and collectively, to unite as a collective, you know, species. We need to be in a heart-centered space instead of this division, you know, that they keep trying to perpetuate in all areas of the media, from, you know, and in basic levels, you know, of psyops that you see being played out with, like the attempts to create more racial divisions or gender divisions and political divisions, you know, basically keep people in survival mode so that they're not able to focus enough on the heart and be aware that there is a whole new energy that is coming through the planet, from the planet, that is here to help us grow instead of being held back. So their main agenda really is a lot about keeping the DNA suppressed and trying to see if they could twist it, you know, and use it as more of an offering to their, to like the negative groups that they are in alliance with, you know, as part of the payment. Yeah. It's like a, you know, like a payment plan. Like, selling out human consciousness.
I feel like our civilization is going to be like, almost like the computer-oriented AI is going to start taking over and maybe get a consciousness and maybe even try to eliminate our race and then be a, you know, try to eliminate us because we're like a cancer on this earth. And, you know, and then eventually maybe a breakdown of technology and we'll come back to the old ways where we're living in harmony with nature and their spiritual teachers and counselors, and not a government that's ruling over us. Because, you know, even in Blavatsky talks about it in her Secret Doctrine, I think it was, where Atlantis was the whole mid-Atlantic ridge coming down. You know, not just those three circles that's talked about with Greeks from the Greek stories, but it was the whole mid-Atlantic ridge. And they were a downfall from technology. Their technology consumed them, and it was their downfall. They were thinking just with their mind and not with their heart chakra, you know, and it was just a complete downfall from technology. And I think that's what we're going towards. You know, history repeats itself.
And this is also a very, very critical point, because we're at that nexus point of the crossroads where we can choose differently. And also the fact that what I feel from doing all the shamanic work with the earth over so many years and connecting with people on a global level, and as well as the higher positive, you know, extraterrestrials that I channel and work with, I mean, they really want the earth. Well, the earth is evolving to a higher heart chakra level. It's like her plasma core, which black people realize that there's a high amount of plasma, which is in a very dense configuration in the core of the earth. This is kind of referred to a lot of times as like Gaia's inner heart chakra, her inner sun. You know, it's part of her area where literally like her plasma is getting accelerated to basically jump to a new orbital level, so that she's more in the green ray energy or the heart chakra. And so there are new codings that she's transmitting to us literally like through the gravitational fields, electromagnetic fields. Pretty much each of the forces of nature can be used as a medium for communication of information codings. And it's not just like humans doing this, you know, obviously nature and higher beings have learned how to do this for far longer than we have. So I'm more of a middleman path in the sense that I don't think we need to go through a full techno breakdown. I think it's actually the opposite. I think that a lot of the technologies that we have that are being used in covert manners or that are being suppressed, such as the real free energy technologies and alternative propulsion systems, that these need to come out so that we can really be able to create a more sustainable society that is in harmony with nature, and also, you know, not cut off from this kind of scarcity consciousness that we have, you know, which is partially created from the misuse of technology, you know. So it's basically a paradigm shift that needs to accompany that disclosure of technology. And for me, the AI is definitely part of the threat in terms of the transhumanist agenda, not just on the Earth level, but from the work we do on a galactic level and from clients I work with. You know, we've basically seen that there is a larger intergalactic kind of war that's going on in parts of our Milky Way, and it's kind of encroaching in more, and some of the groups of Arcturus are getting involved to fight against it, and large contingencies of Andromedans on the positive side are also getting involved to fight against some of these groups, and there is a higher negative intelligence behind the AI, which we've tracked, and it kind of looks like, for lack of a better term, kind of like a Baphomet-like figure, but it's not. That's kind of like the form they like to use, because, you know, you're dealing with higher dimensional negative, you know, beings, and they like to shapeshift, but they also like to use certain archetypes that represent, you know, fear and control in their own specialty.
Yeah. Tricksters.
And yeah, exactly. So
we got 30 seconds to break too. We're gonna have to get back into that after.
Sure.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but. I have a lot more questions for you too that I wanted to get to that I'm thinking of, and if everybody, so, if you're just getting to us, we're with Stephen Popiotek, and he's at timestarproductions.com, and we're at themysticalspiral.com. The song coming up is called Realms. You can find Analog Driver at Reverb Nation. Spiral out.
things inherit a tone that don't exist. Shaken by the visual that slowly makes the sum of you.
Back. My name is Ra, and the moon is just a sliver. Just a sliver. That's my favorite, that crescent moon. And that was a song called Realms. And we're with my guest Stephen at TimeStarProductions.com. Stephen is a cosmic shaman. And it was interesting what we were talking about, how, you know, Gaia and, you know, and everything going on with Gaia, Mother Earth. And I feel that she's screaming right now. She's screaming. She needs healing, that she can't take it no longer. She wants to take her earth back, you know, and we've done enough. And every storm, every earthquake gets harder and harder, and it's just her way of screaming in pain that she's hurting. You believe me, Stephen?
I would say I'm 50-50 with it in terms of I think some of the technologies that are going on with the governments, with like HAARP and other like weather engineering devices, are also kind of trying to like amplify some of the activities of negative weather to try to keep people more in fear and survival mode, because there's critical new energies coming in starting in 2017 that are going to be a huge new wave coming in from the galactic center and also through the sun. And so the earth is kind of like wanting to be like a call and response. So, I mean, over the years when I've done different like grid work with the earth, I was always more in the mode of what you were stating just now, of kind of like feeling that part of the of Gaia energy, you know, that was in pain and hurting. And then later she was, you know, as I kind of opened up more to her heart, she was saying that she wanted to be kind of elevated out of that position, because she said it was kind of like as if we were holding her too much in the lower Piscean energy of seeing her as a victim instead of her being a kind of triumphant, resurrected, you know, Phoenix mother that could provide and could blast through all the negativity if we only, you know, helped her open our hearts and connect to her heart. So I try to keep her more in a state where we want to see all the beautiful things that are happening just behind the scenes, just behind the veil of all this turbulence that these idiots are, you know, trying to keep regenerating, you know? Yeah. And it's kind of like, you know, not losing sight of the fact that no matter how strong the clouds are and the storm is, the sun is still shining behind it. And that part of our work is about being able to, you know, be that kind of lighthouse to blast a hole of of love through that cloud so that the sun and us can connect again, and we can, you know, show people that have been so long in that kind of pit of despair that there is a space of hope and truth and love that is coming, and that, you know, it can happen much faster if we do it on a bigger collective level and get out of this kind of, you know, corralling of the sheeple syndrome. But yes, for sure, there's definitely a lot of timeline manipulations and technologies that have been kind of making it a bit harder for the earth to transmit everything to us. And I talk about some of those in some of the YouTube videos. And,
effect, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and one of the things that I feel that also gets not really covered at all is that, you know, is that some of the other forces of nature are also, like I said, can be used by light or dark in terms of transmitting information. And the strong force is one of them that I've seen come up a lot with people, where the strong force is the force that keeps like the nucleus together, the protons and neutrons together. And, this is a force that both some of these shadow government people have found a way to manipulate with some of their technologies of like remote, like quantum entanglement, where they also use that as a kind of techno, like voodoo system in a sense to manipulate people remotely. You know, this is separate from the whole like microwave systems of, you know, and the ELF waves. But they've also tried to aim certain devices, particle beam weapons, other things towards the Earth's core to try to slow down the Mother Earth energy from transmitting the new codings through the strong force that connects all of our nuclei together, you know, with the planet that we're on. And so part of our prayer and meditation is like to clear out any negative, you know, technology interferences from our four directions, and realize that the four directions are also connected to the forces of nature in terms of the gravitational energy, electromagnetic, you know, strong force, which are part of that. So it's kind of like blending, you know, like mythic magic with science, with your invocation, with your intention to be like, I want to have a clear space of connection to the core of the earth that's undiminished, undeterred, unmanipulated, so that you can really get a sense of what's happening if you tap into that level, you know, beneath the turbulence, you know. I can keep going.
Let's switch to the subject a little bit real quick. Now, we were talking about intergalactic and extraterrestrial beings, and I wanted to talk about like the Orion group for a minute, and maybe how there's negative and positive forces from the Orion group that's, you know, messing with us basically. And I think that picture that I sent you of the Assyrian moon tree with the two bird-like humanoids holding the pine cone.
Yes.
And there's the looks like a DNA or a tree of life in the middle. I think that has to do with our consciousness, you know, them doing something to our consciousness. And you know how there's been like, they say made of, even indigenous tribes say how like there's been four or five catastrophes on Earth where civilizations have just had to go underground to survive, like the human race had to survive. Now, this time around, do you think that the Orion group were the ones to give the Ten Commandments to Moses to maybe establish an elite ruling class to make people worship and serve them and have laws to live by?
There's definitely a few layers there. I mean, I remember first hearing about that, you know, 20 years ago, reading the Law of One books. They had talked about that it was an Orion group that was pretending to be the Yahweh group, which was separate from them, which is again like an ancient example of what happens all the time, even with channelers you see in the New Age movement or spiritual movement. If they end up making contact with a positive being, usually there's a negative being that comes later and tries to pretend to be the same one that they were talking to before, but it's not. It's like the trickster again, you know, where they try to test the discernment of the channel or the medium to see if, you know, if they could you know, both trick them or convert them to a different path. So, you know, for me, what I take out of that is that it seems like that this was a case for sure during the biblical times, where you had both positive ET groups that were trying to inspire us with, you know, the positive energy of the Tree of Life and the Kabbalah, and then you had the negative Orion group that was again trying to twist it and seeing if they could counter those positive inroads, right, made by the positive Yahweh group, and create a system that was more about servitude and control and laws, which is not really in alignment with a one infinite creator, but more leaning towards left-hand path, you know, as one follows it. So I would definitely say that it didn't start off like that, but it definitely seems like that there's an option of both within that system.
That left-hand path would be Gevurah. Was that how they say it? The Gevurah, the left hand of judgment or whatever in Kabbalah?
Well, I would define the left hand right hand paths more from like the traditional like magical point of view, in terms of right hand path being of service to others and white magic, and left hand path being more
of the black magic systems, or like over service to self.
Yeah.
As opposed to polarity, because in tree life you have the left and right pillars, which are feminine and masculine, but they're not inherently negative or positive. It's just, you know, they're supposed to be inherently positive as a construct. How we actualize it and interact with it is our choice. And also in the tree of life, you have the reverse of it. You have the tree of death, which is an inverted version of the tree of life, where instead of archangels and angels, you have archdemons and demons, and instead of virtues, they have vices. So there is that shadow aspect of, you know, the split that you mentioned earlier, of like the lower beings, that they've tried to feed off the shadow energy of people that haven't taken responsibility for their own, you know, subconscious, you know, blockages or their own negativities. So of course, you know, other things like to feed off of it, you know, it's like a natural kind of state of affairs. But the Orion group, I've dealt a lot with that over many, many years. Also because there were, for me, when I tracked my own kind of galactic reincarnational process, Orion was definitely one of my homes. And it is a very extreme polarized constellation for sure. A lot of my past battles we've had with some of the negative Orion groups have been a lot to do with the Egyptian deity Set, who is the one in the Egyptian mythology. He's the one that killed Osiris. But Set or Sutek, is the original name, is really a higher six-dimensional negative ET, and he kind of sits on what we see as like a negative ET council, in a sense. You know, which in a way he's, if you were to take the same idea of the Illuminati or a cabal group that controls a lot of events here, but projected on the galactic level, you know, the Orion group is definitely at the upper echelon of that false capstone.
Would the negative and positive be Enki and Enlil? Would that be almost like that?
Well, in terms of Anunnaki analogy, that would be correct. But in terms of Orion aspect, I mean, Set's group, basically the eye of the pyramid on a dollar bill is actually the Eye of Set, and had that confirmed many years ago. We kind of knew it already from doing just ritualistic.
The serpent. Yeah. So Apophis would be one of his soldiers, right?
Well, Apophis, yeah, it's almost like the different Illuminati families, but applying it to different planets and like different empires, where they'll come together for certain functions, but then they also don't necessarily fully like each other. Yeah. You know, so there'll be okay. Certain. So Apophis, we also dealt with Apophis a few years ago, where the higher beings were coming in to help kick his group out, and they were part of the serpent humanoid groups. Not the reptilian, but they're a little different. They're more serpentine. But there definitely was a close alliance in ancient Egypt with that, with the Order of the Black Sun and the Black Scarab, which was connected to the whole Set, Orion, and the Apophis connections were, you know, also there. And the thing about Set's group is that, you know, this is still an ongoing fight we have against a lot of his groups. It's been weakened a lot, but they're still one of the main, you know, negative entities that the Illuminati have temples to, that they do ritual to and sacrifice to. And one of the constructs they work a lot with is like a black spider. It can be black and red spider, which can appear really tall and like really nasty. And on one of the cities of the planet, one of the planets in Orion where Set has his kind of headquarters, there are these very giant, like almost like obsidian onyx looking black spiders that have like a high pitched screeching sound and are multidimensional.
I've seen them before.
They're disgusting. Yeah, I had so many fights with them and other ones of those.
I've seen them in the astral before. They can get monstrous.
Yeah. and they're kind of like the ones that try to maintain the web of the matrix of control, you know, and there are these other like black spider priestesses that work with Set's group that would be ones that are like a negative version of the goddess energy, where they work with trying to create a web of control instead of a positive spider group, because there also was a positive spider group, which I've tracked out more from the belt stars of Orion, and these are more like solar galactic light spiders that you can perceive on the astral, that are here to help us weave new connections of like love, community, and higher wisdom. It's not a web that binds, it's more of a web that liberates and connects us. So it's not just to like diss the spider archetype, but to understand that a lot of these archetypes of totem animals are also reflected on a galactic level and have an increased light or shadow depending upon the orientation, you know, and who's using it, basically. So it's very fascinating when you start getting into like astral magic here and realizing there's a whole system of galactic magic that these higher beings also use to kind of engage consciousnesses of worlds that they wish to either help liberate or to conquer. And that it's, you know, that game continues for a while.
So do you believe there's a council watching over our planet that's like residing in the eighth dimension, like the octave, what do they call it, the octave or something, that's like in the rings of Saturn, but we see it as
I definitely I've had a lot of journeys remotely doing that, and also certain people that I've worked on have had who've lived on Saturn and have been able to access more of some of those realms and temples. And I would say for sure, like, I mean, Saturn and Jupiter, I love a lot. And there's a lot of amazing beings on both those planets that are looking out for the Earth. But definitely the Council is definitely more on Saturn. And there's definitely, you know, a lot more representatives there from other systems. But there's also the positive, you know, Orion group in terms of like the energy of Osiris and the that aspect of the positive divine masculine is wanting to come in more to help us, you know, kind of evolve our own connection. And that also ties into the whole thing going on in the Middle East, where we have the propaganda against the most holy mother named Isis being used to describe, basically a dark Setian, you know, male order that's created by the U.S. and Saudi Arabia. You know, it's like, you know, information warfare again applied, like geopolitically, you know, for multitasking reasons. And on a higher esoteric level, that all started forming towards the end of our battles against a lot of the Set groups. All of a sudden, this the ISIL girl group formed, and we were laughing because saying this is really messed up, because on an esoteric level, they were just trying to contaminate the thought form within the holy name of Mother Isis and associate it with the darkest male energy, which would really be Set. So it's almost like Set's trying to pass his negative side to Isis, so people are cutting off themselves from that holy archetype and are clouding the thought form. Magically speaking, it creates like a negative connotation that makes it harder for people, and especially women that are trying to reach up to that vibration, to embody it, because now they have to go through that layer of turbulence of negative association with it, you know, that millions of people are now labeling it as. So it's brilliant, like, you know, psyops, you know, to try to, like, you know, twist one of the most purified names that hadn't been twisted before. And it plays into a bigger theme, because at that time, I also was working with different clients, women that were star seeds from the Pleiades. And we noticed that a lot of them were getting into like little accents or having things blocking their crown chakra. And we saw that this was directly tied into this group, because they're basically trying to block the higher galactic feminine energies from grounding. And Isis in the mythology, she was connected to the Pleiades, to Sirius, and to Venus. So there have been different things staging in terms of the narratives that we hear in the propaganda media, where they're trying to create a negative association with these systems. And even on the grounded level, the drama going on in Syria, you know, it's a homonym, right? People from Syria are called Syrians. And likewise, people from the star system Sirius would be called Syrians. So that there is this whole kind of division going on, where they're trying to, you know, block this direct access to higher sources of love that are being broadcast to us from those worlds. And so they're trying to cloud it up, you know, with these negative like narratives. Just to complete the last part, because it is important, it's come up the past few weeks, because I got sick a few weeks ago and a lot of my friends did too. And we noticed that whenever they're coming out with these new flu viruses, they're also like modifying it for other reasons. And we noticed that the recent so-called flu cold virus that has been going around has been trying to target star seeds who have DNA from Sirius, and that's trying to slow down that DNA from opening up and giving us more of our abilities. And so we had to go in there, and like, so it's really directly reflective of the narrative of, you know, in the Middle East as well, in terms of, you know, like the whole positive group in Sirius A and versus Sirius B, you know, being played out with these proxy groups in Syria, you know, kind of like mirroring it, you know.
Are these like amphibious beings are coming from Sirius B, a lot of them, or like an amphibious?
Well, I know there's a group that is like that, but the ones I've connected to have been more humanoid and also higher dimensional. One of the energies that came in specifically during this period with that, when I also went into dream plane and did some accessing there, and I was seeing myself and other people who lived at that time, which was a very long time ago by Earth standards, as part of the Anubis energy, but like a white Anubis. If you mix like a Siberian husky white wolf with Anubis, the jackal god, there's a ray of that. So it's not just like the normal Anubis you see, that's the black color. There's different rays of Anubis, who is a gatekeeper, a guardian of doorways and realms. And in the Egyptian mythology, he was connected to Canis Minor, which is next to Canis Major, where Sirius is at. And I had seen the star Sirius in the dream showed itself as a gateway for all these white Anubises that were coming through, and that this was part of the raid that we needed to reactivate in ourselves. So it was very interesting, you know, just to kind of like tap into that. And I've had two clients just since that point, the past couple of weeks, who were from Sirius, and we had to do more work on clearing out some negative satellite technologies that was orbiting some of the planets in Sirius that was also trying to block out. That was put up there by the negative group, and Sirius, that was trying to interfere with the purity of the transmissions from being grounded, you know, onto the Earth. So the whole game gets very more complex and involved when you get into, like, you know, like a consciousness geopolitical agenda of, like, how do you suppress it or how do you help it evolve, and that's something that's pretty wild, you know. When you start to see.
We only have like 7 minutes left, and I still wanted to talk about this parallel. I know it goes by so fast. An hour goes by so fast that we're gonna probably have to have you back on, and we really
sure.
Do. You know, absolutely. Because it's a great, and we're just starting to get into stuff, you know, we're just getting into
it. Exactly.
But, you know, the whole Trinicon, you know, Other Earth deal, that I really wanted to, you know, touch on that a little bit, because I had a few questions about it. I don't know if you want to save that for another show. I also wanted to talk to you about, like, some Kabbalah stuff, like, you know, I had a few questions about that as well. But, like, Trinicon, if you want to just give, like, a few minutes. I don't know if we don't even have the time for that, but it's like a.
I could do like a real quick, and we can also refer people to the two videos on YouTube where I go more in depth into it as well. But I mean, it's basically that there are several parallel Earths, in a nutshell, without going into too much detail. But I originally seen that there were like a total of 9 parallel realities that were closest to our Earth here, our Earth being one of the 9. And that the other 8 could be perceived as like petals of a lotus, if you were in the center of it. And these were different parallel universes where, on a quantum level, the energy is like phase shifted. Think of like a hologram, old school holographic plate where you put many holograms on top of each other and you can just turn it one angle and you see one picture. In the same way, on a quantum level, the Earth is like that, where if you were to rotate it, and when I talked to Professor Nichols about it, he was in agreement with it and said that it's like a 45-degree rotation to go to each of the other Earths. And that this is, you know, basically one of the reasons why I saw that there was 8. And Preston referred to Trinicon as Earth 2 from his experiences of when they were going over there at Montauk times. And that this is a timeline of reality where Atlantis didn't sink but was won by the dark side. So fast forward that and see how screwed up that reality would be.
Yeah.
And so it's like new world order on crack, you know.
Now, does Trinicon have like ley lines? Yeah, the new world on crack. Yeah. Does Trinicon have ley lines that's connected to our Earth, or do they even have ley lines such as our Earth?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, it's but over there they're hacking it more and misusing it, and also the whole negative AI threat that we're engaging here is already accelerated over there, and they're actually trying to come in as well through our reality from both Trinicon universe as well as through some portals that are opening around the moon. And so there is a more complex configuration of how they use back doors to try to come into worlds. And so because there's more negative ETs that have been working in Trinicon reality, it was easier for them to try to stage, you know, more of these activities. And the problem, so there have been positive work we've been doing, though, to try to connect to the positive Earths at different sacred sites and have that energy boost up the light quotient so that it's able to resist the negative strands of the Trinicon reality from encroaching on this Earth here. So it's kind of like doing vortex work, you know, on with more than just this Earth, like boosting the immune system in a sense so that we could heal that.
When you say Trinicon, in my head I see digital crystal pyramids, like
something. Sure, man. Sure, absolutely. There's all sorts of fun, crazy technology like that, where it's such a controlled society. But there is a resistance movement there, and there are things going on that reality which are starting to fight against the system. But it is definitely a very intense one to do. And I had out of body experiences going there, which initially were triggered from advanced Kabbalah work that I was doing, where the angels told me basically a secret that if you were to rotate some of the sigils that you have that are the, you know, some of the symbols connected to the angels or planets and the tree of life, if you were to rotate that and see it as more three-dimensional, and if you rotate them all, you know, at certain angles and then charge them up in a meditation, your astral body can then be shift it so that you will kind of like have a phase rotation of your astral body and you could go into the other Earth. So it's a way of kind of like doing astral projection, but multi-Earth wise. So it's pretty, pretty trippy stuff.
So did these crystal pyramids, are they similar to what Giza and, because I'm seeing like digital crystal pyramids. Are they similar to like Giza and Mayan?
Oh yeah, because you know, well, because also there's also been an obsession here that was really big in the 90s, especially, and was one of the reasons information they were trying to get out of me. My abduction was that the shadow governments have been obsessed about getting into the Egyptian and getting into the Atlantean pyramids and temples that are buried in the ocean and the Atlantic Ocean. So, but realizing that in the parallel Earths, both the negative one in Trinicon, and also in the positive, there's a positive parallel Earth where Atlantis didn't sink but was won by the light. And that one we kind of referred to as a Nova Terra, like New Earth. And that one's really amazing. And there's more contact going on from there to here, which is also wanting to help us. You know, it's almost like our allies in the positive Earth want us to overcome these trials and tribulations. And this convergence of timelines that some people are talking about with like the Mandela effect is definitely going to just accelerate this right now. It's quite a fascinating.
Now for a minute.
Okay. So it makes sense that if Atlantis didn't sink in either reality, there would still be the pyramids that would be active, and they certainly would have upgraded them by now. So in terms of what you saw there in Trinicon, it totally makes sense, you know. And then there are these.
I'm wondering now if you know how like in the Book of Enoch, Enoch describes how, and even in the Bible they say how God walked with Enoch. I'm thinking that in the Book of Enoch when he talks about that he goes on this voyage and he's seeing all these crystal, you know, crystal cities and crystal this. I'm thinking maybe he was in some kind of parallel, or maybe it's inner Earth or some Agartha, Shangri-La type.
Yeah, it does get more complicated because you start going more like in the 4D realms. You start seeing that there are these crystal light cities that are here already that we're not able to perceive yet until we shift our vibration, and that these are going to be more like interface, like almost like starport ports for the higher beings that want to help the Earth evolve. You know, and as well as Mother Earth's own crystallization of light, you know, kind of creates these structures. And so there is inner Earth connections to it as well, both of some of the Atlanteans that survived on our Earth that were of light and dark, you know, are involved in some of these processes. So there's a lot more to discuss. Yeah.
Enoch is Metatron in Kabbalah. He's the ascended version.
You know,
he's Metatron.
I'm not convinced that is, but I hear what people talk about it. But I've experienced them both as unique entities. So I haven't experienced them as being the same, but that doesn't mean they're not. So
okay,
for me, the
we gotta go. We gotta go. The next show's coming in 30 seconds. It was great to have you guys. He's at timestarproductions.com.
Yes, Stephen. And I also do the sessions on the phone too.
yep. So go check out his website. It's a great
Our
night.
Facebook
it's
as well.
Fallen Angel Friday. Spiral out.
I want to hold you.